because we're going to be using the Siddur for our Mar Makomos today, I always want to worry about the number of pages that get printed up and what's going to happen with Shemos afterward. I think since today we're talking about Tehillos in our Tefillos, the psalms that we say in our prayers, in our davening, a lifelong quest for meaning, that would be good for each of us to have a Siddur and to see where the Tehillah is that we're going to be talking about. I would say that the most demanding activity we do every day is davening, is praying. Because what we're doing is trying to concentrate on something that's really essentially poetry. Because so much of our davening, so much of our tefillos, so many of our prayers are psalms. And psalms are poetry. I would define poetry as a heightened use of language, which means that we have to pay very close attention to what's happening with the language in each poem and to the way that each poem unfolds. Tehillim attracted the attention of many poets in many countries and continues to attract the attention of many people as you see different music cycles, sets of songs, and new translations of Tehillim still coming out. In fact, in the period that I studied for my doctorate in the 17th century, the centuries leading up to that time were full of an interest in psalms, and in each language, in each vernacular, when something was translated from the Bible into that vernacular, because for many centuries the Bible had been available only in Latin or Greek, but when it finally got translated into Spanish, Italian, French, English, German, it's interesting that the first book that was translated each time was the Book of Psalms. And it's interesting to see some of the people who did the translation. For example, Luther translated some of the Tehillim into German, and Calvin translated some of the Tehillim into French, and many other known poets, Sir Philip Sidney and his sister, Wyatt, Surrey, George Herbert, and my favorite, John Milton, all paraphrased Psalms, all turned Tehillim into English poems. I'm going to mention the comments of one poet, although I don't admire his feelings about Jews, because he has some very prevalent anti-Semitic tendencies of his time. But John Donne was a great poet nevertheless. And what he said about Psalms in one of his sermons was that they are perfect poems, and they're like a piece of gold that's beaten out. You can't take away one bit, you can't add one bit. It's just a perfect whole. And at the end, he said, is the stamp that gives the print to the whole gold, and he called that the last verse of the Tehillah. And he certainly was poetically accurate, although I think that theologically and religiously, he left a lot to be desired. But poetically, he was absolutely right. There's a completeness to each poem in Tehillim. There's a wholeness to each psalm. And definitely the ending is either a summing up or sometimes a circling back to the beginning. I define poetry as the heightened use of language. I have a brother-in-law, Rabbi David Ebner, who is both a Rosh Yeshiva at Eretz Hatzvi in Yerushalayim, and a poet, and he says there's always an element of surprise in a poem. And sometimes the surprise is how the poem works around and comes back from the first verse to the last verse, circling back to the first verse again. And we'll see that today in some of the Tehillim that we look at. Now I must say that the minute I chose this as my topic, I immediately began preparing every day, many times a day for this talk, because we say Tehillim so often. So every morning when I said chakras, I was preparing for this talk, and I was attentive to the psalms there. Every evening when I was going to sleep, and I said Yeshev v'sefer Elyon, Hashem ha'rabut sarai, Shir ha'mal v'sashrei kol yirei Hashem ha'olech v'drachav, again in the Kriya Shema Ohamita, we're saying many Tehillim. When I benched on Shabbos and I said the Shir HaMalos, that's a Tehillah, that's one of the psalms. Just now during Pesach, I was extra attentive during the Seder to what we were saying in Hallel, because Hallel is comprised entirely of Tehillim. It's composed entirely of psalms, from Psalm 113 through Psalm 118. So once you start on this, you will find that you're attentive to Tehillim everywhere, and you're much more attentive to the language of the davening. And that helps because, as I mentioned, davening is such a difficult thing to do, such a demanding thing to do. Yes, Tehillim are praises. A Tehillah is a praise from the root Hallel, to praise. We want to praise Hashem, But then we think to ourselves, I'm a finite human being. I'm just made of flesh and blood. I'm this limited creature with a limited lifespan, and I'm trying to approach the infinite, eternal Hashem and to talk to Hashem. So right away we feel stymied, and right away we feel, how can I do this? What can I, a limited, mortal human, possibly say to Hashem? And that's why we need words that will at least allow us to speak to Hashem. And Tehillim will give us those words. Rabbi Yitzchak Kuttner, the late Rosh Yeshiva of Chaim Berlin, said that we have to talk in poetry to talk to Hashem. We have to talk in metaphors. We have to talk in similes. Because we can't even talk directly to Hashem. It's too overwhelming. So he said that's why we have to use expressions like Kegamul Alei Imo, an expression in Tehillim, like a suckling child in the lap of its mother or in the bosom of its mother. That's the trust that we feel in Hashem. The same way that a baby that has just been nursed and feels totally satisfied and total trust in the mother. That's how we feel we are in the hands of Hashem. We need to have a comparison because we can't even talk directly. And that, Rav Kuttner said, is why we use Tehillim in our davening and why we have to have poetry. We use Tehillim before each Amida, before Shemona Esrei, to even dare to open our mouths before Hashem. We quote the 51st Psalm, we quote Tehillim Nun Aleph, and we say, Hashem, Sfasai Tivta, Ufi Yagid Tehillosecha. Hashem, you will open my lips, and then my mouth will declare your praise. Because we literally need permission from Hashem, an opening from Hashem, to make our mouths capable of praising Him. We have to be aware of the fact that Hashem created us. He made this mouth, He made these lips, He gave us the tehillos to say, and then we can dare to daven. Then we can dare to begin to speak to Hashem. That's why after we say Berachas HaTorah in the morning, and after we say Berachas HaShachar, we open the davening with a tehillah, with Tehillim Lamed, with a 30th Psalm, Mizmor Shir Chanuk HaSabayas L'David. So we'll all turn right before Baruch She'amar. If you're using this Siddur Yitzchak Ya'ir, it's on page 22. Otherwise, if you're using another Siddur, it's before Baruch She'amar. So we begin with the title. There are many explanations for which way this should be interpreted, whether it's Mizmor Shir Chanuk HaSabayas L'David, whether it's Mizmor Shir Chanuk HaSabayas L'David. But in any event, it's L'David, which again can have many meanings. It can mean by David, it can mean about David, it can mean for David. Many possible meanings, which is what keeps the study of Torah so lively, that everything has many possible interpretations. L'David, we attribute the songs to David, we attribute Tehillim to David, although there are two different lists in the Gemara of the authors of Psalms, and they include Moshe, they include possibly Korach, or possibly a song that was in a Korach mode, some kind of Korach song. They include Adam HaRishon, many possible authors of Tehillim. We attribute them to David because it suits so well, and because of expressions like Mizmor LeDavid. How do we begin this psalm? How do we begin this poem? Aramimcha Hashem ki divisani. I will tell your romimus, Hashem. I will tell your greatness because you have raised me up. Divisani is like zalo, like raising water from the depths, and it means you have saved me in some way. The sara isn't specified. What the difficulty was is not specified. But it's that Hashem has taken me from a lowly position to a higher position. And this is exactly the condition of life that all of us face. There is not one of us who has not faced a crisis, be it a crisis of health, be it a crisis of a danger crisis, one's life being in danger. Everyone has had a moment where he or she has realized, ki divisani, Hashem, you lifted me up. Things were going very badly, I was very worried, and Hashem has saved me. And because of that, because ha'lifa min she'ol nafshi, because you've raised my soul from the lowest depths, therefore I'm able to praise you. Hashem elokai, shivasi elecha v'atir pa'eni. It gives me the feeling that you, Hashem, belong to me. You are my Hashem, and therefore I can address you directly. Shivati, I called out to you, that's your pa'eni, and you healed me. You saved me from the star, from whatever difficulty it was. Even when I was written off for dead, because Sheol is where the dead souls go, Tiyasani, you kept me alive, and you kept me from going down in the pit, the Ardi Bar. So for this gift of life, I'm thankful to Hashem. And as long as I have life in me, I have to express my thanks to Hashem. I have to awaken and realize that every day is a gift, that we have survived and we're going to go on. And this really is something that we have to remember. There's none of us who doesn't go through moments of shame. There's none of us who haven't gone through moments of embarrassment. None of us has not gone through moments of disappointment, of despair. And this tehillah is to say, but you're alive, and there's possibilities. And once you're alive and there are possibilities, what you have to do is thank Hashem. And that's why, Zamu Hashem Chassidav, I want to join in with all of those who are Chassidim, who are Chosim B'Hashem, Ubosim B'Hashem, all of those who are pious in the original meaning of Chassid, before it became used for a particular group 2 centuries ago. The original meaning is a pious one, one who believes in Hashem, one who trusts in Hashem. And I want to join in that choir, Zamu Hashem Chassidav. I want to be part of that choir. V'hodu L'Zecher Kodesho. And I want to give thanks. And I'm even almost afraid to say his name, so I'll say L'Zecher Kodesho. To the memory, to the mention of Hashem and his Kedusha, of his separateness from everything else, of his being Kadosh, of his being unique. What do I realize? Ki rega ba'ato, that his anger lasts a moment, but Chaim Irtzono, but his affection lasts a lifetime. And we all know this. When something bad is happening, we forget about the fact that there were years and years of good preceding it, and there may be years and years of good that will be following it. And this tehillah comes to remind us, the anger lasts a moment. Whatever it is that you're going through, it is going to end. It's not just a proverb, it's the truth. There is light at the end of the tunnel. What we have to do is get through the very hard times, and remember, Chayim Yirtzono, that most of life is lived in Hashem's affection and in Hashem's favor. Or, the human condition is to go from Bechi to Rina. At night when we go to sleep, we may feel that we're in a crying mood, things are terrible. And in the morning, we awaken to joyous songs. In fact, many expressions come from Tehillim. You may have seen a book recently called Joy Comes in the Morning. It comes from this Tehillah, La Boker Rina, Joy Comes in the Morning. The change can happen overnight. And sometimes when we're going to sleep and we think there is no other way, there is no other solution, things are just terrible and I can't think of another way. But during the night, our mind is working and we wake up in the morning and we realize there is a solution. My father, Zichron Levracha, used to say that American Jews, because we've been raised with a comparatively easy financial life and a comparatively easy political life, so we're not used to the kinds of strains that European Jews had to face all the time, where poverty was the greatest enemy to Jewish life, and where the government was no friend to the Jewish people. My father said that an American Jew thinks of one solution to a problem, and if we think of 2 solutions, we think we've really been creative. We thought of 2 solutions to a problem. He said, a European Jew was so beset with problems, they would think of 100 solutions to a problem. And just in case, they would think of 101. And maybe that's where the famed creativity of Jewish people comes from. It was forced on us, but it led to all those Nobel Prizes, because we had to be creative in order to survive. So, ba'er b'yalim bechi, we can go to sleep at night with tears, with crying. But we awaken in the morning and we realize there's joy, a change has happened, and we can face whatever it is that we have to face. We want to be very careful. Bani Amarti Bishalvi, I said when I was prosperous, Lo emot li'olam, I'll never be moved. Everything will be fine with me. Hashem, Hashem, I realize it's in your favor. It's when you wanted it that I was able to be strong, and that you made my mountain stand strong. You made me feel that I was surrounded by a fortress and that I was protected. But his tarta panecha, when you hid your face, hayisi nifhal, then I was frightened. I call out to you, Hashem, Elech Hashem akra, because I realize that I can call out to you, that you are there. Ve'al Hashem eschanan, and I make supplication to Hashem. And it's Elecha, because I realize it's all up to Hashem. We think that we have control of things. We think we have control of money. We think we have control of health. We think we have control of our destiny. But what we have to realize, and this tefillah brings it home to us very strongly, is that everything is a combination. Our free will, our bechira chofshit, and Hashem's plan for us, those two intersect, and that's called life. So we do have free will, but we do face many different conditions, even within that free will. And when we face those conditions and handle them as well as we can, that's called living a good life. Now the Meshorer, the poet, asks, Ma besa v'dami? What profit would there be in my blood? Burditi al shachas, if I would go down to the pit. Hayalcha afar, will the dust praise you? Hayagid amitecha, will be able to tell the truth Hashem? Of course, these are rhetorical questions. If I'm dead, I can't praise you. If I'm dust, I can't say anything to Hashem. Instead, Shema Hashem v'chaneni. Hashem, please listen to me. Please let me find favor in your eyes. Hashem haye olderli. Hashem, please be of help to me. Please assist me. Hafachta mitzvadim lo macholi. You have changed my mourning into dancing. Machol is dancing. Pitakta saki. You have unloosed my sackcloth. And you know that sack is the sackcloth for mourning. That Mordechai, for example, put on sackcloth for mourning when he heard the terrible news of what Haman Yamach Shemo intended to do to the Jewish people. Pitakta saki. Instead, you have opened up the sackcloth. Vatazreni simcha. And you have dressed me in gladness. So that I can keep on singing a shir shel kavod, a song of honor to you, v'lo yidom, and not be silent. This is the purpose of life. L'man yizamecha kavod v'lo yidom. To always have an awareness of Hashem. That's why we say Baruch Hashem when a good thing happens, and that's why we say Yirsa Hashem, God willing, when we hope that something will happen. Because we're always aware of the fact of this intersection between our free will and what Hashem is providing for us, and hoping that will turn out for tova, will turn out for good. And if I have that awareness, l'man yizamecha kavod v'lo yidom, that I should always be singing the praise of Hashem, Hashem Elokai, then God, my God, and I feel that you are my God, that I have a relationship with you, I have a kesher with you, la'olam odeka, then I will praise you forever. This is the perfect gateway through which to come into davening. Because what we're expressing here is that through all the ups and downs of life, through all our mistakes and embarrassments, we realize more strongly than even at the opening. At the opening we said, Arimim Hashem ki hirisani, I will exalt you Hashem because you have saved me. And at the end we realize that we have to thank Hashem constantly. Now we can go into davening because we have been saved, because we are alive, because that is the purpose of our lives, and we begin Baruch Sha'amad. We can start davening. So this is the Chanukah Tabayas for David, but it's also the Chanukah Tabayas for the house we're building of Tfilah, of prayer. Just please notice poetically, because I'm very attuned to this kind of thing, how many words repeat themselves in the Tehillah, unfolding with more meaning. For example, he signing the Yardi Gar, and my, that's a Beriti El Shachas. Both of them images of going down, but you've saved me from going down, and what use would there be my going down? Hodu Zecher Kacho, give praise to the, even the mention of his Knusha, and Hayotcha Afar, but could thus praise you, and the Olam Odeka, I will praise you forever. Lo simacha oyvaybi, you made my enemies not rejoice. Instead, v'tazreni simcha, you dressed me in joy. So because I've been through all these experiences, because simcha went to what my enemies wanted, to the simcha with which you clothed me, then I know la'olam odecha, I can praise you forever. So these are some of the thoughts that we might have when we read this mizmor before we begin davening. Now we'll turn to what we call Ashrei, and it's interesting, it's even called Ashrei in the Gemara 1500 years ago, page 27. But really, this Tehillah begins two psukim later. It begins from Tehillah L'David. And it's the only mizmor that begins with Tehillah, with a word, a song, a poem. And it's interesting, when I read this in a perush that I used in preparing for this shiur, it's from Mosad Rav Kook, a man named Amos Chacham was the editor. And when I read that he said that this is the only mizmor that begins with Tehillah, I thought, but Tehillah appears so many times. How could he say that? So I actually went to check him, which was foolish on my part, but I just felt I had to see for myself. And he's right. This is the only one that begins with Tehillah. The Tehillah appears many other places. For example, it says, Lecha Dumiyah Tehillah. To you, Hashem, silence is praise. Because when we feel overwhelmed, even silence can be praise to Hashem. Or Lecha Na'avah Tehillah. To you, Tehillah is appropriate. And I have a granddaughter who's very appropriately named Baruch Hashem, Tehillah Na'avah. So we have this sense of Tehillah throughout Tehillim. But this is the only one that begins Tehillah. Now, why is it that Tehillim Kuf Mem Hei, Psalm 145, had these two psukim appended to it, actually prefaced to it, coming before it? And then at the end of the Tehillah, at the end of Tehillah with David, we also add another pasuk. We say, V'anachnu nevarech ka, me'atav alam halulu ka. Now, you may have wondered about this ever since you realized that this whole Tehillah with David is alphabetic. It begins with Aramim Ka Hashem, with a letter Aleph, and it goes through to the letter Kaf. Tehillat Hashem Yidaber Pi. So why the two psukim beforehand, and why the one psuk afterwards? There are a number of reasons given, but I'll start with another little preface. In Brachos, in Gemara Brachos, we learn, Kol HaOmer Tehillat Yidaber B'chol Yom Shalosh Ta'amim. Anybody who says this Tehillah, 145, three times every day, Muftach Lo Shehu Ben Olam Haba. He's guaranteed a place in the world to come. And why is this? Because the second pasuk says, "B'chol yom arvachecha, every day I will praise you, I will bless you, v'ahalah shemcha li'olam ve'ed, and I will praise your name forever, for eternity." So that's a kind of little signal, a little sign that if you say this b'chol yom, if you say this bracha b'chol yom, then li'olam ve'ed, you're guaranteed eternity, the opportunity to praise Hashem. And how do we get that in? We say the Tehillah here in Shacharit. Then we say it after the Amidah, after Shemona Esrei, we say it again before Aleinu. And we say it a third time at Mincha. So we all get in Ashrei three times a day. But why does it begin with Ashrei? Why not just start with Tehillah David, Aramut HaLokai HaMelech? This is based on something that we learn also in Brachos, in Gemara Brachos. HaMispalel Tzarich Sheyishheh Sha'a achas kodem tefilaso. A person who's about to daven should really deliberate and consider it as a kind of meditate and stay a full hour before he starts davening. Now, most of us would find that very difficult to fulfill. I'm happy if I get in 20 minutes for davening shacharis in the morning. When my kids were little, I said a very truncated version of davening that used to take about 6 minutes, because when you have three boys, Baruch Hashem, and you want them all to stay alive and well, you're not dwelling on davening in the morning. That's when I understood why Mitzvah Sosheshes Man Grama, why women are not obligated in them. So I used to get an Ashrei Shema Shmon Esrei and feel that I had really accomplished a great deal when the kids were little. But we really are supposed to wait an hour beforehand, and that's what the Hasidim Harishonim used to do. They would prepare themselves for davening with a full hour of contemplation and meditation. And what is it based on? It's based on this pasuk, Ashrei Yoshvei Beisecha. It's a pasuk also from Tehillim. From Tehillim Pei Dalet, Pasuk Hei, it's from the 84th Psalm, where it says, Ashrei Yoshvei Beisecha, Odihalu Chasela. So the idea was that you'll consider yourself as one who dwells in Hashem's house. It's kind of a token appreciation of the fact that we should be taking the time to think for an hour ahead of time, but we're not. Instead, we're saying the joy of those who dwell in your house is that they will praise you forever. And we're just acknowledging the fact that we really should spend that kind of time in contemplation before starting to davening, before starting to daven. But then once we're going to say that pasuk, Ashrei Yoshvei Beisecha, Odihalu Chasela, that we're trying to be one of those who dwells in Hashem's house and who prepares properly for the davening, well, there's another pasuk that begins with Ashrei. And the nice thing is, it's the end of Tehillim 144. We're beginning with 145, but the last pasuk of Tehillim 144 of Kuf Mem Dalet is, Ashrei Ha'am Shekachalo, Ashrei Ha'am Shehashem Elokav. How fortunate, how happy is the nation that has this opportunity, how fortunate is the nation for whom Hashem is their God. So once we were going to say, Asher Yoshev Betzecha, O Yehalu Chasela, to say that we are part of that group that wants to prepare properly to come before Hashem, it seems only appropriate that we should preface it with Asher Ha'am Shekachalo, Asher Ha'am Shehashem Elokav. So even in the Gemara, when discussing this particular Tehillah, it does not refer to it as Tehillim Kufman Dalit, Kufman Hay, Psalm 145, and it doesn't refer to it as Tehillah LaDavid. It refers to it as Ashrei. So that tells you that over 1,500 years ago already, these two psukim of Ashrei were prefaced to Tehillah LaDavid. And what do we find it says in Brachos? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mitneima lo nemar nun ba'ashrei. Why is the letter nun omitted in Ashrei? We have every other letter of the Aleph, but there are only 21 psukim in Kuf Mem He, not 22, as there should be. Mipnei sheyeshba ma'apan shefonei Yisrael, because the letter nun is a pasuk that is used for the falling of Sonei Yisrael. This is a lashon sadvi nar. This is a nice way of saying it's about the falling of Yisrael, the Jewish people. It's an expression to say that let the enemies of Israel fall, where the pasuk is really about Yisrael falling. This is said in Amos, Nafla lo tosif kun v'suat Yisrael, that she has fallen and she will not get up again, v'suat Yisrael, the young woman Israel. Amar Rabbi Nachman bar Yitzchak, Afilu hachi chazar dav l'smacha b'ruach ha'kodesh, sh'ne'mar sumei Hashem l'chol ha'noflim. And that's why David did this in Ruach HaKodesh, because the next pasuk after Nun is Samach, and the pasuk that David put in there is Somei Hashem Lachol Hanoflim, a hint to the Nefilah, a hint to the falling. So what do we have at this point in the poem? We have everything going through alphabetically, Aleph until through Mem, then we have Nun omitted, and then we have in Samach, the next letter, a reference to the pasuk that might have been there, or the kind of thought that might have been there, something about Nefilah, and instead it's turned around to be something positive. So Mei Hashem L'chol Hanoflim. But we still have to understand, why did it come here? Why not at another pasuk, something about getting, turning something negative into something positive? And this same Mefarish, and interestingly, my husband said the same thing, so I guess it's an idea that has occurred to several people. The preceding pasuk is Malchus Ko Malchus Kol Olamim U'mem Shankacha B'chol Dor Hador. Your kingdom is the kingdom of the entire universe, of all the worlds. And now that we know something about galaxies, we realize what Malchus Kol Olamim means, that there are billions and billions of galaxies surrounding us. U'mem Shankacha B'chol Dor Hador. And your rule prevails from generation to generation. However, honestly, we do know of generations where Hashem's rule did not prevail, and where B'nai Yisrael did fall before their enemies. So to counter those who would crow in victory over us, whether it be the Greeks, the Romans, or all the different enemies that have come across us and come against us, who said, Lo tosif kun v'suat Yisrael, the Jewish people will never recover, will never recuperate. So we have, Malchus Malchus Kol Olamim, yes, Hashem's kingdom is forever, his Memshalah is b'chol dor hador, and even if we go through a door of Nun, of Nefilah, still, Hashem will pick us up again, so make Hashem l'chol ha'noflim. The answer comes immediately. I had another idea for why there's a missing letter, and I thought of this. What are we trying to do here? We're trying to praise Hashem. And that's why so many of the Tehillim are about creation, about the universe, about the enormous things that Hashem has created, has done for us. We can't even begin to think of how to say it all. So even when we try to organize it, according to the Aleph, and we're trying to say, I'm going to introduce some order into the jumble of my thoughts. So I'll do it according to the Aleph, and every letter of the Aleph, I'll still attempt to praise Hashem. But even there we realize we can't possibly give all the praise to Hashem. So I think that a letter was purposely left out to say that as complete as we try to make it, it can't be totally complete. We can never possibly reach the ultimate of what we would like to say about Hashem. So even when we go alphabetically, we leave a letter out. And it's interesting that in several other alphabetic Tehillim, a letter is also left out. And I think that this may be, I'm saying it without sureness, but as a possibility, as a guess, this may be the reason. What we're trying to say is the impossibility of doing what we're trying to do. Now we add a pasuk at the end, v'anachnu nevarecha v'yatzar v'alam halalucha, because we want to end with halalucha, because we want to end with praise Hashem, because we're going into five prakim, the five last poems in Tehillim, 146 through 150, and they're circle poems. A circle poem begins with a word and ends with the same word. And they're all circle poems, beginning with Halleluka, which is a tzivui, it's an imperative, praise Hashem, and ending with Halleluka, ending with praise Hashem. And you know the essence of a circle, it has no beginning, it has no end. And that's what the praise of Hashem has to be. You begin with praise Hashem, you end with praise Hashem. It's a complete circle, it's an eternal circle, it can never end, this praise of Hashem. So to introduce that, we added V'anachnu Nevarecha, Me'atah Ve'Adolam, and then we go into Halleluka, into the circle poem. I'd just like you to notice something in Ashrei that's very interesting, and that is the movement back and forth between different persons. We go first person, we go second person, we go third person. For example, we begin with the first person, it's I addressing you, Hashem. Aromimcha, Avarcha Shimcha. I'm going to praise you, Hashem. I'm going to extol you, Hashem. But then we move to the third person because you can't sustain this. You can't talk directly to Hashem at any length. So we go to Gadol Hashem Umhoal Ma'od, Lugdolso in Kaker. Now I'm talking about Hashem, that his greatness is unsearchable. But I want to be part of the tradition. That's why Dor Ladar Yishabach Ma'asecha, from generation to generation, we will praise your works, Hashem. And I want to be part of that marvelous tradition. That's why I'm joining with others. Ve'ezuz narasecha yomeru. Yomeru, they will say, now we're in the third person. Others will declare the might of your glorious act. And I want to be part of it. Uzuacha asaprena. And I will tell of your greatness. So we're going back and forth in several ways here. Sometimes I'm talking to you directly, Hashem. Sometimes I'm describing Hashem. Chanun v'rachum Hashem. Sometimes I'm joining with others. Ve'ezuz narasecha yomeru. They will say it. But I will join it to tell Hashem's greatness. Because the essence of Ashrei, and I'm referring to it as Ashrei, the way the Gemara does, not as Sinuella does it anymore, is I want to be part of this wonderful tradition. I want to be part of this Dor L'Dor. And that's why I move back and forth between joining with them, with all the other Jews who have said this through the ages, and all the other Jews who are saying it now. Sometimes being personal, I'm relating to Hashem, and sometimes talking about Hashem in the third person. But it's interesting that when the Shorer, when the poet talks about Hashem in the third person, some of the qualities that he mentions are the Yudimu Midot Hashem, like Chanun, Rachum, as in Hashem, Hashem, Kel Rachum, V'Chanun, Erech Hapayim V'Rab, Chesed, again, the word Chesed appears there, the Emes appears here. So when I'm trying to describe Hashem, I have to take his own words. These are the words that Hashem told Moshe, are the words that you can describe him with. So we have to refer to those Yud Gimel Midos in trying to join in praising Hashem. There's one pasuk that we're told that we must say every day, Pofech et yadecha mafil chal chai ratzon, that Hashem, you open your hand and you satisfy every living thing. And this is our awareness that all of life depends on Hashem and that every moment of life is dependent on Him. My father, Kol Ravach, used to say about this pasuk and about its analogous use in Rachem, in benching, in Birkat HaMazon, it's Posech Es Yadecha, Hashem, you open your hand, U'mafil Chol Chai Ratzon, and you satisfy every living thing. And in benching we say, Es Yadcha Hamleya Hapsucha, your hand that is full and that is open. And my father used to say, a human hand, if it's open, it can't be full. If it's full, it has to be closed, holding on. Only Hashem can have an open, constantly replenished, constantly full hand. And that's what we depend upon all the time with Hashem. That it will always be replenished, it will always be full, Hashem will always see to it that life will go on. The themes here are Malchus Hashem, Midos Hashem, and are trying to approximate what we can for Shem Kacho, for the name of His Holiness, since we can't directly say all that we want to say about Hashem. If you'll just look for a minute, please count up how many times the word kol appears in this Tehillah. And don't worry, you're going to go through a few psukim between Dalet and Ches where it doesn't appear. Between Gimel and Ches where it doesn't appear. There's even more. You missed some. 17. 17 times. 17 times. And 17 is Minyan Tov. Tes is 9, Vav is 6, is 15, and Bez is 2, is 17. 17 times the word kol appears here. And why is that? Because we're trying to describe the inclusiveness of Hashem's kindness. Which we're trying to describe everything we want to say in thanking Hashem. So we just use the word kol. Everything. We would just like to say everything we possibly could. And since we cannot possibly say everything, we have to circle into Haleluka, into the fact that the praise will go on forever. And we are going to go now into the last few poems in this section of Davening, which is called Sukkei Dezimra, the verses of song, because we're saying these miros, we're saying these songs to Hashem. Here I won't go as closely because the time is running out. And we begin with a very direct message to ourselves. Halli nafshi es Hashem. We're telling ourselves, my soul, praise Hashem. And at the end, at Kuf Nun, at Psalm 150, on page 30, we end with, Kol hanshama kahaloka haluka, Kol hanshama kahaloka haluka. Let all souls praise Hashem. To begin with, I want my soul to praise Hashem. And at the end, we want all souls to praise Hashem. We want to join in their praise to Hashem. We'll just look at one of these tehillim. I will look at Kuf Mem Zayin, at the bottom of page 28. Haluka ki tov zamra lokenu. It's good to make music to Hashem. Ki na'im na'va tehillah. Praise is appropriate. Praise is pleasant to Hashem. And then this tehillah will examine all the different ways that praise is appropriate to Hashem. The first way that we see it is in history. The survival of the Jewish people is an amazing, amazing saga. And we appreciate the fact that Bonei Yerushalayim, that Hashem builds up Yerushalayim and rebuilds it after each destruction. And we are, Baruch Hashem, living in the time of Bonei Yerushalayim Hashem. Nidchei Yisrael Yichanes, Hashem gathers the outcasts of Israel from all the places where we have been. And again, we're living in that kind of time where people have come from Ethiopia, from India, some places that were never expected, and we have found that there are Jews there, and we're living in that kind of time. So we see Hashem's greatness and kindness in history. We also see Hashem's greatness as the healer of all that goes wrong. Hashem who heals the brokenhearted. We see Hashem's greatness in the universe. Hashem who creates the entire universe and sustains it. Hasam Vulech Shalom, going down the page a little bit. Hashem who makes your borders peaceful. Except that I interpret it, Hasam Vulech Shalom, that we hope Hashem will make our borders peace. Because Shalom actually is peace, not peaceful. And what would we like to see? We'd like to see a border for Israel with the other nations, like the border that we have with Canada. A peaceful border, which is the best kind of border. And the border that most promotes the growth of both sets of people, and most diminishes money spent on armaments and anger. Hashem will feed you with the cream of wheat. And again, that's another expression, your cereal, cream of wheat, comes from Tehillim, from Chelev Chitim. Hashem feeds you from the cream of wheat. Hashem supervises all of nature. When I see the snow falling, and it's falling very lightly, and it looks like the fleece of sheep, I think of this pasuk, Hanosein Shelas Katsamer, who makes the snow fall like fleece. four, eight or five there, but sometimes the fourth comes down and seems to scatter like ashes and just disappear immediately. Mashlich karko kvitim. Sometimes Hashem sends the ice like little crumbs. Lifnei karason miyamo. In front of his coal, who can stand? And if you remember a few weeks ago what we were facing, you will understand this pasuk. And yet immediately, Yishchasavaro v'yamsein, if Hashem sends out his word, all this can melt away. Yashev Rucho Yizumayim. Hashem can make it all turn to water. So what do we see out of all this? We're trying to think of all the ways that we want to praise Hashem. We praise him in history. We praise him in nature. We praise him for sustaining us. We are trying to praise him for everything. And what can we say at the end? We're very thankful to be the Jewish people who understand that this is our tafkid, that this is our role in life. Magid Devar Al Yaakov, we're very thankful that God has told his word to Yaakov, who covered the Shabbat Israel, that he's given us the different observances that we have. Lo Asafein L'Sorokai, Hashem has not done this for any other nation. U'mishpatim, his mishpatim, his judgments. Bal Yida'um, he has not made known to them. Halalukah, we have to praise Hashem. So we have to thank Hashem that we are the Jewish people who have this obligation to be aware of Hashem. Just an interesting further comment, and I'll end with one more thing with just a 2-minute insight. On page 30, Tehillim Kuf Nun, we talk about a number of different instruments to thank Hashem with, to praise Hashem with. Some of them are strong and martial, some of them are softer, the harp, the lyre. Some of them are more sentimental, more quiet in their sound. Some of them are a loud cymbal. What is this indicative of? The Telzerov used to say, it shows you that life has many different moments. There are times when you want very soft, sad music, the moment you're going through. There are times when you want loud, martial music, to say you're enthusiastic and you're very happy about something that's happening. But what's the ultimate? Kol Hanshama, take every emotion, take every feeling that you have, and realize, Hallelujah, praise Hashem, even without emotion. In every emotion, you can find a reason to praise Hashem. And I often think about this because in Shema Yisrael, when we say Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, we're saying Hashem, that's the language of Rachman, of mercy. Elokim, that's the language of Din, of judgment. And then we say at the end, Hashem Echad, Hashem is one. So the same brother-in-law who's the poet and the Rosh Yeshiva, Rabbi David Ebner, told me that Hashem Elokeinu, sometimes we think we're in a period of Hashem being Rachman, showing us mercy and everything's going well in our lives. Sometimes we feel we're in a period of Elokeinu. We feel we're in a period of Hashem showing din and things being very harsh and being very difficult for us. But ultimately we realize that it's all Hashem Echad, that it's all really Hashem's Rachman. That sometimes what we thought was the worst thing that happened to us can be the best thing that happened to us, and sometimes what seemed to be the most terrible moment has segued into something very wonderful. And I've seen it in my own life, where something happened to me that I thought, oh, that's it, that's the end, I'm finished. And that led into the most wonderful project that I had ever done. And if I had not gone through the disappointment in one thing, I never would have tried the other. So you don't know, and what you have to trust is, Kol Hanshamat Ha'alka, let every emotion praise Hashem, and it's Hashem Elokeinu. Sometimes you see Hashem, Rachmim, sometimes you see Elokim, you see Mishpat. Ultimately, it's Hashem Echad. It's all one Hashem, and it's all Rachman. It's all ultimately for our good. That every moment is Tachas Hashgachas Hashem. For a final look, just very quickly, at the end of Shabbos, after Shir Shel Yom, we're going to say on Wednesday and Thursday for Rosh Chodesh, Baruch Nafshi. And it's on page 72, the second Psalm, the second Tehillah. Here we're trying to praise Hashem for everything in the world. And of course on Rosh Chodesh, we're very aware of the fact that Hashem is the creator, that the moon waxes and wanes according to the schedule that Hashem has given it. So we begin this Tehillah, we're praising everything Hashem has done, and the heavens on earth, governing the waters, and certainly we now realize what it means that Hashem governs the waters and how destructive the waters can be, that Hashem turns the waters to construct a sustaining purpose, that Hashem sustains all life, the cedars, the arazim, the cypresses, the wild goats, the elim, the gophers, the shvanim, Hashem provides the moon and the sun to give different times for different animals to pursue their lives. The lions can go out hunting when they should, and other animals should be out in the dark, other animals should be out in the light. But then we come to the crowning point, and that's Yetzei Adon Lefa'alo V'lav Adaso Adei Aretz. That is the crowning point of creation. Because what follows that? Marabu Ma'asecha Hashem. How great are your works, Hashem. Let me just see where that is here. One second. Ah, here it is. On page 73, beginning of the second paragraph, is Marabu Ma'asecha Hashem. But immediately preceding that is Yetzei Adon Lefa'alo V'lav Adaso Adei Aretz. Where do you really see the greatness of Hashem? It's not just the planets, it's not just the galaxies, it's not just the waters, it's not just the earth, it's not just the animals, it's not just the plants, it's not all of these things. It's that Hashem has made something called a human being who can do purposeful work. Yetzei Adam Lefa'alo. A person can go out to his work, and to his appointed task until evening. Work is the most meaningful thing that we human beings have. The fact that we can do things with a purpose. The fact that we can take ingredients and out of flour and sugar and eggs and a few other things, somehow we work and we create something called either bread or cake. This is Hashem giving us a sense of purpose to our lives, of meaningful activity. We can write something. We can think something. We can draw something. We can keep a house pleasant and clean. We can sew something. We can do all kinds of things. And we can do the main work that we're supposed to do. We can praise Hashem. That's why Yetzei Adam Lefa'alo, if you want to come to the apex of creation, to the high point of creation, it's that man is a thinking, accomplishing creature. That we're able to do things that have purpose and that reach a tachlit, that reach a point of completion. Of course, we're aware that not everything is perfect in this world, which is why the next to last pasuk is Itamu Katan Min Ha'aretz. Let sins be finished in on the earth. Urshama Eidanan, that if there's no sins, there won't be any more evil people. But how do we end? The same way that we began. Barchi Nafshi Es Hashem. I have reached the full circle of praise from Barchi Nafshi Es Hashem at the beginning, but now it's with one addition. Hallelujah. Praise Hashem. We want this to go on forever, and we want to be part of it. I'll just mention two quick things. I'm dressed kind of Western style because I'm going on to a bar mitzvah brunch now where we were told to dress country Western style. I have no idea what the bar mitzvah has in mind, but I'm obeying him and I'm going directly to that, which is why I won't be staying for Rabbi Simon's talk, which I would very much like to hear because Rabbi Simon is fantastic. And usually I do stay for the second talk, and I'm sorry that I'm going to miss it today, but I'll be able to listen to it on the recording. But I do want to quote something from this bar mitzvah boy's other grandfather. One grandfather is my brother, and the other grandfather is Mr. Henry Lerner. And he says that adventure is danger recalled when you're safe. And that's true. And that's what Tehillim Lamed is all about. That's about all the adventures of life, all the dangers that you recall when you're safe. And we thank Hashem for saving us. I hope that we can carry on the circle of praise.